Hello, everyone, and welcome to month two of the Jim Rohn one-year success plan. This is our teleconference on goal setting. Again, this is the month two teleconference call on goal setting, and today we have a really great guest with us. He is the founder of asamanthinketh.net, as well as mp3motivators.com and goals2004.com. He is a driving force in the personal development world, as well as a great friend of Jim Rohn International. So on behalf of Jim Rohn and the president of Jim Rohn International, Kyle Wilson, this is Chris Widener welcoming to our call Vic Johnson. Vic, welcome.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be here.
Yeah, good to have you. I'm assuming you are at home in Florida. Is that correct?
I am in sunny Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida today. Beautiful weather, gorgeous weather, and I've been down the beach earlier today, and it was wonderful.
Yeah. Now, are you a lifelong Floridian?
I am a cracker, actually. My family moved to Florida in 1857.
So wow.
Except for 1 year, I've lived in the state of Florida.
Wow. Great. Well, you are, as I mentioned, just really a well-known person in the personal development industry, and so we thought it would be great. Specifically, you have a lot of knowledge in the area of goal setting, and so we thought it would be great to have you as our guest in this month, too, when we take a whole month on goal setting. And so as we are wont to do, let's jump right into it. We'll do that by having you just give us a little bit of an introduction on yourself. If we're going to spend the next 45 minutes together, it'd be great for folks to know a little bit about you and your past and where you've come from and where you're going.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Well, you know, I think probably, as is the case with a lot of people, sometimes we end up in life doing those things that at one point in time was a weak area for us. And certainly it's kind of ironic that I would end up marketing goals material around the world, being co-author of Goals 2004, as well as several earlier goals programs, because for more than 20 years, probably the toughest thing that I did was try to set goals. And I got started out in my early 20s. I actually was in business for myself at 23, and several years later, at the ripe age of 25, launched the first Quick Lubes in Florida, pioneered the development of the Quick Lube business in the South. Grew it to a multi-million dollar company, 150 employees. And all this time, Chris, believe it or not, did not understand how to create goals. Now, some people would argue and say, well, you were pretty successful. Well, you know, if you sling enough stuff against the wall, some of it's going to stick.
Yeah.
Doesn't always mean it looks very nice.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, when you're young, I found this to be true with not only myself, but many of my friends who I've tracked them through their life and other people that I know, that when you're young, you have enough energy that you can go out and you can make things happen. But as that energy dissipates and as life kind of catches up, you really got to get focused. You got to get a lot sharper, and that's where goals come in. But through all this period of time, while I'm growing this company, I really did not understand how to set goals. After 10 years of slinging a lot of stuff, using a tremendous amount of energy, worked 18-hour days. In fact, 1 year I worked every day of the year except Easter Sunday, 364 days I worked.
Wow.
And it caught up with me, and I was burned out. And so after 10 years, I sold my company. I took a part-time hobby. Somehow, as you know, I have an affinity for politics, and I'd gotten involved, much like you have gotten involved in political campaigns, and decided to turn that into a full-time profession. So I took my hobby and sold my business one day. The next day, I was in the governor's campaign in the state of Florida.
Huh.
I did that for quite a few years, and you know, at one point in time, built a pretty successful network marketing organization. So I've had experience in a lot of different areas, and in 2001, I saw an opportunity to get on the web. Personal development's been a hobby of mine as well for more than 30 years, and it's been so helpful in my life that I knew there'd be other people that would feel the same way that I did. And I originally started out just simply to give a book away called As a Man Thinketh, probably the 28 most powerful pages in literary history, a tremendously wise collection by a guy named James Allen, written over 100 years ago. And in the process of doing that, just happened to meet the right people and talk to the right people and network to the right people. And in the process, we've, you know, created another profession, occupation, or what have you in the personal development field. And then I was able to learn from some phenomenal mentors, Jim Rohn being right at the top of those mentors.
Yeah.
And his teaching on goals is just unbelievably solid. It's folks like Jim that opened my eyes into terms of what I needed to do, and then I put that into practice and over time developed personal goals, success with my personal goals, and then was able to translate that into actually developing goals programs that that we market every year and are able to help people, you know, get their life in order and get it on track and, you know, get some goals in their life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have led a fascinating life. Played football, was it at Florida State?
Florida State University. Did that in another life as well.
Yeah, yeah. You're really a fascinating guy with a lot of really neat history. And
thank you.
And so you've been a friend of mine now for a number of years. I think
yep.
I originally met you when you were just getting started distributing As a Man Thinketh. That's
right,
how we
absolutely.
Initially met. And
absolutely.
So good. Well, now you sort of insinuated something that I want to use as our first question. You said, well, you know, I was pretty successful without goal setting. So I want to ask you, how important is goal setting? Because some people, I think, say, you know, goal setting, small setting. You know, I just go about my business and I do my things and, you know, and other people are very meticulous about written goals. And some people are, well, I just have a general idea of where I want to go. Make the case for goal setting being an important part of a person's life.
Well, Chris, I'll make the case so strongly that I'll just put a $100,000 challenge out there. I'll write a check for $100,000 to anyone who can show me a true success who has not lived a life driven by goals.
Hmm.
Now, successful people set goals in different ways. There's different strategies. I certainly have learned that one size does not fit all. One particular approach does not fit all. But you cannot show me a successful person through history. Go back 2,000 years, and I'll show you evidence somewhere they had a strategy. And all goal setting is a plan.
Mm-hmm.
If I went out and got in my car right now, I got you here on a portable phone, and got in my car right now in my garage, and I had no place to go, I'd probably sit in my garage for quite a long time thinking, now, do I need to go this or do I need to go there?
Yeah.
In other words, if I don't have a destination, I'll never get off of the square.
Yeah.
And that's all goals is. Goals is a plan to get you to a destination. I think sometimes, you know, and again, my history over 20 years was, to me, the most important thing, because that's what I read about. I'm reading all this personal development material. I'm listening to these at that time, cassette tapes. I'm going to the seminars, and I understand how important it is, and my personality being the way it is, and I'm forcing myself to have these, you know, to create these goals, number one, that I did not create using the kind of the right methodology, number one. Number two, I didn't understand how to create them, but I was forcing myself to do that because I thought I had to have them, but I really didn't understand. It's not about goals.
Hmm.
Goals are not the big deal. The big deal is to get what you want.
Yeah, sure.
All goals do is give you the map, the plan, the strategy to help you get there. That's all a goal is.
Yeah. Now, what about writing them down? Because I know that people say, in fact, I think there's a study, and I'll give the general idea. I'm not going to give the specifics because I don't remember them, but I think it was like the 1954 class of Harvard, and they took them and the graduating class, and they took the people who wrote down their goals and had the specific written out plan, and they came back 40 years later, and the net worth of the people who had written down goals was way beyond the average income, the average net worth was way beyond those who had not practiced goal setting. I don't know if you're familiar with that study or not.
I am, and you know, there is a number of different studies. You know, interestingly, Brian Tracy, who I know you're a fan of his as I am, Brian Tracy says that your odds of achieving something are 1,000% greater if you write the goal down.
Mm.
Now, I would take inversely, I would look at the number the inverse way, and I would say you've only got a 1 in 10 chance of succeeding at something if you don't write it down.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what it says, 1,000%. Better chance of succeeding if you write it down. That's a 1 in 10 chance of accomplishing it if you don't. And the funny thing is, I heard that. For years I heard that. I mean, I read the books.
Yeah.
You know, I read the books that said write them down. I heard the speakers say, write them down. Did I write them down? No. You know why? Because I didn't think it applied to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was that big a deal. It couldn't possibly be that big a deal. And I don't understand why that works, Chris. I don't. And I'm going to share something that happened to me personally. And I do not endorse this method, by the way. This was just something, kind of anecdotal evidence of how powerful it is to write something down. But this is not what I endorse. But it happened to work that particular year. And it was 4 or 5 years ago, and it was a period after I'd been struggling for quite a while, and I was sitting down at the beginning of the year. I was not writing goals at the time like I should be, but I was sitting down at the beginning of the year trying to figure out, okay, I know that I've got to have X income this year. Where is it going to come from? And I started thinking about all the potential sources that I might be able to create income from, and I took the Franklin planner that I use. I do at least do that. Don't keep it the way they would teach you to keep it, but at least I keep one.
Sure.
And I flipped it to the back, and I took a page in the planner in the very back, and I started writing down the sources of potential sources of income that year and the amount that I thought that I could earn that year from that potential source of income.
Hmm.
And I wrote down, and I've spent a long time. It was not something I did haphazardly. It was not something I did in a few minutes. I probably spent a better part of a day really masterminding, brainstorming, coming up with every possible source I could think of. Now, Chris, I never went back to that page again that year. Amazingly, the next year, at the end of the year, I'm changing out my planner pages, and I come across that page I had written in the back of my planner, and I looked at it, and I had received income from every single source on that page.
Wow.
Now, again, I don't endorse that method.
Right.
It has no accountability to it. It has none of the structure and methodology that you need for successful goals. But I'm telling you, folks, when you write something down, it has some type of power that I can't explain. I don't know anybody that can really explain it. Just do it.
Yeah.
Don't question it. It's not hard. It's not something that that requires that much effort. But the success rate is phenomenal. Just do it.
Yeah. And that's something you hear Jim say all the time. Now, write this down. Write this down.
Absolutely.
On a regular basis.
He's a big believer in that. You know, he's the one that got me to writing so much because he talks about, using a journal. Now, again, I know that I'd flunk his journal course because I don't keep a journal the way that he would prescribe it, but I do write in a journal, and it's really for another call. It would be too long for me to go in the power of what's happened with that. But yeah, I absolutely agree with him on that, and I've learned that from him. Is keep a record, write it down, write your thoughts down. It's amazing how writing your thoughts down 6 months from now, you'll come up with another idea, put it together with that thought from 6 months ago, and bam, you'll have a project. You'll have a way to create some money that you never had before.
Yeah. I do think that one of the interesting things about writing it down is I believe that there's a direct connection between the hand and the mind. And by writing it down, in fact, researchers have shown that by writing something down, it does ingrain itself in your mind even more so than if you were to just hear it.
Absolutely.
Or just think it or whatever. So I do think that there is the ingraining in the mind of whatever the thought is. If it's a goal, it's a goal. When you actually write it down, somehow the body is designed and the mind is designed to just put it deeper in and make a deeper connection when your hand actually writes it out. And, you've got language involved and all that kind of stuff. So good. Well, let's get into goal setting a little bit. Now, I know that you have kind of four parts that you view goal setting in. Can you give us those? Can you give us those four parts?
Well, you've got an evaluation period, Chris. You really can't determine where you're going if you don't know where you've been.
Yeah.
If you're out again, I use the analogy of being in an automobile. If you were out on a trip and you look at a map, and you really got to figure out where you're at, mm-hmm. Where you've been in order to decide where you're going, how to determine how to get to where you're going. And that's a very, very important process. It's painful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's painful for me many times to evaluate where I've been, to evaluate where I'm at, because I have to come face-to-face with myself and realize that maybe I didn't quite perform like I should have performed. But you know what? It is absolutely critical to the process of going forward. And, you know, there's a reflection period that has to take place at the same time, a period where it's what I call, in fact, it's the most fun part to me, because that's the period of time where you dream.
Yeah.
That's where you kind of let yourself go and you try to, you know, get into that framework of when you were a kid and where you weren't, you didn't have a lot of, your thinking wasn't shackled.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, important part to the dream process. And of course, you got the creation and design process, which includes an acronym that I know you teach and many other people teach, called SMART goals, SMART, and we'll cover that.
Yep.
And then finally, there's the accountability step. So you can create the greatest plan in the world, but if there's no follow up and accountability. Every single major company in America has a quarterly report.
Yeah.
They have to send it to their stockholders. They have to file it with the government. They have that report, not just because the stockholders demand it, not just because the government regulators demand it, but there's no way to know where they're at in their progress toward their annual goals if they don't stop and do some follow-up and some accountability and evaluation of where they're at in relation to where they thought they would be in the plan. So
it kind of brings it full circle, because you're evaluating
circle.
The where you're
evaluating
from.
Again. See, yeah. a goal is always that evaluation, that reflection, creation, design, accountability, evaluate. You know,
yeah.
you're constantly evaluating. Again, go back to a point I made a minute ago. The goal is not the thing. You know, sometimes we make it the thing. Getting where we want to go is the thing. So it's not necessarily necessary. I encounter a lot of political campaigns where, and as you know, political campaigns happen in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
They use a tremendous amount of energy. There's just a tremendous amount of energy expended in them. And a lot of time, in fact, I've never seen a campaign ever do more than about 60 or 65% effectiveness of its strategy. In other words, you do a campaign plan, which is a goal, the same way you do a business plan or a personal plan or whatever. I've never seen one, even the most successful campaigns, ever execute better than about 60 to 65%. So it's not necessary to do 100% of your goal plan. That, again, the goal is not the goal.
Yeah.
The goal is to get what you want, and the goal plan is simply a way to help you get there and a way to help you achieve it. So that accountability follow-up part is where you're evaluating, and first of all, you're accounting to yourself, you're accounting to other people, and then you're evaluating where you're at in relation to your strategy. So you may decide it's time to change the strategy, you may decide it's time for, you know, to modify the strategy or whatever.
Yeah. Well, let's go back and start at the beginning then. Let's assume that we have some folks on the call, which is true, who have never really been goal setters. So they may have dabbled in it, or they may have done it for a week or two, or you know, they just may have never, ever done it before. So let's start at the very beginning with the evaluation reflection. What should they do? I mean, what's the nitty-gritty of this? What should they do? How do they start?
I think the first thing you have to do is you have to sit down and, you know, you have to decide, you have to look at the various aspects of your life. And I think a lot of times that people think of goals, again, they relate them to perhaps money or finances or salary or business or whatever. Goals,
yeah.
You should have goals in every area of your life. If you don't, in my opinion, you'll never be successful. You can have all the money in the world, and if you have an empty spiritual life, if you have empty relationships, if your health is terrible, you're not successful, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Now, you can be the buffest guy in the world, or the greatest looking girl in the world. You can have a body that stops everybody. And if your finances are a wreck and your relationships are a wreck, in my opinion, you're not successful.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be out of kilter. You can't be out of balance. So I think the first thing to do is look in every area of your life. Sit down. And I'll tell you, Chris, there's the workbook that comes with the one-year plan has this process that we're discussing today. And I'll just tell you, that workbook, we help create that workbook.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, we put a lot of people through that process. this is not something you should shortcut. If you're truly serious, and I think, you know, I think anybody who's committed themselves to a year,
yeah, sure,
which I think is so admirable to say, I'm gonna sell out for a year. I'm gonna give it a year. If you've committed yourself for a year, then I think you're serious enough to sit down and go through that workbook and go through that process. There's got a number of exercises in there for the evaluation and reflection as well. Part of this, very, very important. One thing that I'm reminded of is there's a part in there where you write down some of the past successes in your life. You know, I've felt when I use the expression at the foot of the cross, when all the wheels in my life had just fallen off the wagon and I was at the foot of the cross,
yeah.
I couldn't think of any of the times I'd been successful, Chris.
Mm.
You know, I couldn't remember some of the football victories I'd had. I couldn't remember that at 25, 26 years old, I'm running a multi-million dollar company that I built from nothing. You know, I'd forgotten all that stuff because life was there in my face and the obstacles were too great. And, you know, it may not even be something big to the rest of the world. You know, so the funny thing is if somebody sat down and maybe they're an accountant, they have an accounting degree, and maybe they're a CPA, they may not think they do that every day, they've been doing it every day for 20 years. They may not think that's a big deal. That should go down on your list of successes because I don't have a college degree. I would love to have a college degree. I think that is admirable. I think that is a great achievement to be a CPA, to pass that test that it takes to be a CPA. I think that's a phenomenal achievement. I don't have one. I'd love to have one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes we discount some of the great victories in our life, even if it was, you know, the grade point average we had when we were seniors, or, you know, maybe we won a spelling bee in the fifth grade. You know, take all the way back to the earliest part of your life and write down all the times you've been successful. Here's why. Here's what it'll prove to you. It'll prove to you you've already got inside of you everything it takes. See, we were created with everything it takes to be successful. Nothing else has to be added to us. It's already there. All we have to do is develop it.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to get any more muscles. I mean, we got all we're going to get.
Right.
But if we'll go in that gym enough times during the week, we can grow those muscles to incredible size.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to give us any more. We've got all we need. Same way with being successful at whatever you want to be successful at. You've already gifts. You've already been given the talent. All you have to do is go.
So let's talk about what they write down. I mean, what do they write down when they're evaluating? They're writing down their past successes. What else?
Well, you know, I think evaluating where you're at in terms of your finances. You know, again, what we're going to do is we're going to create a goal. We're going to create a goal program that's going to involve goals for this year. We're going to have a lookout like 5-year, 10-year. Every successful company has a 10-year plan. Some of them have 20-year plans. I'll tell you, in today's environment, things change so quickly. A lot of times we get to that 10-year mark, we're doing something that doesn't even resemble the plan we created 10 years ago. Certainly had I created a plan 10 years ago, Chris, I doubt I would have seen myself on the web with personal development sites.
Yeah,
wouldn't have been in my sights. I don't know whether or not you, even though I'm sure you probably had an interest, you might not see yourself, you know, involved in the big political campaigns that you're involved in.
Right.
You know, so the idea is not necessarily that it's going to forecast exactly what your future is. Again, it's just a method of giving you direction to your life. So, you know, you've got to know where you're at. So what do your finances look like now? What did your finances look like 5 years ago? If we're going to evaluate where we're going in the next 5 years, what we're going to do in our financial life, what's happened in the last 5 years? Have your finances deteriorated? Have you been laid off? Have you, where are you at in your debt?
Yeah.
Do you owe more than you owed 5 years ago? Why?
Mm.
You know, are you not saving? Do you have more money in savings? You have less money in savings? What's happened in your financial life that will that we're going to use, because we're going to go back when we start designing and creating goals, we're going to go back and use all of this information to design and create our future.
Yeah.
See everything that you've done up to this point in your life has prepared you for what you're going to do the rest of your life.
Well, and it's also, it's like if, you know, use the driving example. If you're going to go to Kansas City, you need to know if you're starting in Orlando or Seattle, because that's going to determine where you're going to go.
Makes a heck of a big difference.
Yeah. Good. Well, then let's talk about dreams and goals, and that's the next stage. What happens there?
That is, again, the funnest part to me, the part I love to teach about, because it really, that probably saved me, Chris, because I learned, I mean, I think I've probably always been a very optimistic, positive person, even in the worst of times, I had at least a sliver of optimism there. But I don't think I ever really seriously grabbed hold and believed that I could have anything I could dream. See, Robert Schuller, who wrote a great book called Tough Times Never Last, But Tough People Do, published in 1969. Great book. I've sold a lot of them, never made a dime. It's just a great, great book for people to read who are struggling. Robert Schuller says, if you can dream it, you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a broad statement. I mean, that is pretty bold right there.
Yeah.
If you can dream it, you can do it. But then you go back and you think, well, there's a guy named Napoleon Hill that wrote the number one success classic of all time, Think and Grow Rich. What did he say? Whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, he can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, he can achieve. Again, that's a very, very bold statement. Well,
yeah.
I think that up until I learned how to dream big, that I didn't believe that. I didn't really have a lot of faith in the idea that if I could dream it, I could do it. I now know that to be the case because it's happened in my own life. I've experienced it. I've watched it happen in other people's life. I've coached other people into the situation where they achieved some dreams that were so much bigger than they ever thought possible that I know that it's something you can do. You got to have the formula's got to be there, as Napoleon Hill says. You got to believe it, you got to conceive it, and then you can achieve it. And I think that when it comes to goals, Chris, most of the time, let me tell you what I did for 20 years. Again, thinking, struggling to do what I thought I was supposed to do, I never set goals big enough.
Mm.
Now, there'll be a lot of people, and I don't want to say something that flies in the face of a lot of experts who may have been teaching this a lot longer than I've been teaching it. But I'll just tell you that my personal experience and the experience that I've gained from coaching others and watching others is the problem with most people's goals is they're not big enough.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you're going to have some obstacles. I don't care what goal you adopt this year. You're going to have some obstacles. Life's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be problems at work. There's going to be problems in your relationships.
Yeah.
There's going to be problems in your finances. There's going to be problems in your life because we have challenges in our life.
Yep.
And I'll just tell you, a small goal will never, ever be able to stand up to most of those obstacles.
Mm.
Bob Proctor shared something. I was sitting in a seminar, Chris, and Bob, as Jim, is one of my mentors, and he shared something that just blew me away. And I've been teaching it ever since, and it's Bob's ABC level of goals. You ever heard that?
No, huh?
It's pretty incredible because it really does describe the way most people set goals, certainly the way I did.
Mm-hmm.
There's first the A level of goals, and that's what most people, when they sit down to set a goal, when they sit down to dream about a goal, they come up with A-level goals. And here's what an A-level goal is. An A-level goal is something that you've probably accomplished before. You have confidence, you have belief that you can probably accomplish it. You know, let's say your goal is to lose 10 pounds in the next 60 days. You've done that before, you know you can do it. You're comfortable setting that goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your goal is to get a 10% increase in salary this year. You did that a couple of years ago. You know you can do it. It's something you're comfortable doing. That's the type of goals that most people adopt.
Right.
Now, that's one reason why 90% of the people who adopt goals goals on January 1st, have abandoned those goals by February 1st.
Right.
The reason is they're not big enough. They don't excite you. They don't get you going. Then there's the B level of goals. Now, B level goals, and again, many people set B level goals, not most people, because most people are setting A level goals, but there's still a large number of people who will set B level goals. Now, B level goal is something that you've never achieved before, but it's a goal that you feel pretty confident that you can. It's within your reach. If you, let's say you, your goal is to have a 20% increase in income this year, you've never done that before, but you had a 15% one year, you had a 13% one year, so it's not a big stretch for you to get 20%. Your goal is to lose 20 pounds in the next 3 months. You've never done that before, but you have lost 10 pounds in 2 months, so you think, yeah, it's not a big stretch. In other words, B-level goals are never going to stretch you.
Right.
Again, come February 1st, B-level goals aren't going to be around because B-level goals aren't something that are going to keep us awake at night thinking about them. We're comfortable with them. Well, then there are the very, very, very few people who set C-level goals.
Mm-hmm.
And C-level goals are simply the things we really, really want. Most people will not set a C-level goal, quite frankly, because it's scary.
Yeah.
And I'll just tell you, if you're not a little uncomfortable with the goal you've set, if it doesn't take your breath away, if it doesn't make you a little uncomfortable, if it doesn't scare you just a little bit to think about, it's probably not big enough.
Yeah.
It's not something that's going to keep you on course as you go down the road. And that is the single biggest problem that I find is people will. In fact, I was on a call the other night, Chris, on a goals call with some people the other night, and that question came up was, the woman wanted to set a goal, but she was so afraid it was something that she didn't think she could achieve. And that's exactly why she should have set the goal.
Yeah.
Now, we'll get in a minute. We'll get into the SMART acronym, and we'll get down to the word realistic, and we'll talk about that and address that. And don't think that you can just take any old goal and make it, be some huge goal. I'm going to be president of the United States, this year or whatever.
Right, exactly.
There's already a couple of guys in the race. But, we'll get into realism in a minute. But the fact is that goal should just absolutely, it should keep you awake at night. When your eyes open in the morning, it's something you think, when the first thing in the morning when you wake up, you're not going to think about a 10% increase in income.
Sure.
But if you got a goal to start your first business this year, and that's your goal, and you've never been in business for yourself, and it's in an area that you really enjoy, it's doing something that you absolutely have a passion for. I've done it, and I know, Chris, you've done it.
Yep.
When you get up in the morning, it's the first thing you think about.
Yep.
After you give thanks, isn't it?
Yep. Yep.
Man, it hits your brain right away. Hey, today's the day I'm going to get my business license, or today's the day that I'm going to go down and buy the property, or today's the day, whatever it is. Those when your eyes open, the first thing you think about, those are the kind of goals that you need to be creating for yourself.
Mm. So just there really is magic in thinking big, as the old book.
Book, I'll tell you, Chris, that book is just a dynamite book. I got to tell you a real quick story. Randy Gage and I were on a teleseminar one night, and we were talking about how powerful that book had been in our lives. And Randy had read the book before, just happened to toss it in his suitcase. He went to Australia to meet a potential business client, and he thought that he could do about $50,000 profit with this particular client, and that was what he was going in for that when they had their meeting the next day. So he goes, he checks in the hotel, he opens his bag, it's not quite time to go to bed, so he pulls the book out, opens it up, starts reads until he, gets sleepy. He didn't read the whole book. He just read a portion of the book. He had read it before, but he read until he's sleepy, turned the light out. Next day, goes in, gets $250,000 deal.
Mm.
Just as a result of a few minutes of reading that book.
Mm.
Five times more than what he thought he could do.
Yeah.
That book, I'll tell you, 60 years old, I think it is, 70 years old, written by Dr. David Schwartz. Just a phenomenal book, The Magic of Thinking Big. You can get it used at Amazon for $5 or $6. It's
right.
Just it's an incredible book.
First person ever told me about that was my barber, believe it or not.
Unbelievable.
Oh, good. So let's get into the SMART part. And if I remember correctly, it's specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time sensitive. So why don't you, here in the next 10 minutes or so, walk us through each of those, the specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time sensitive.
Well, you know, so far in our conversation, we've really already talked about this this acronym, but this particular formula is a great way to evaluate your goals, to evaluate your plan, to evaluate whether or not you've created SMART goals. Number one, the word S stands for specific, and we've been talking about, you know, about destination. We've been talking about how would you know how to get to Washington or get to Kansas City if you didn't know whether you were in Washington or in Orlando.
Right.
You have to be specific. Well, that's all. When we get down into the goals process, we cannot say the goal is to lose weight this year. It's got to be specific. The goal is to lose 10 pounds. The goal is to lose 20 pounds. It's not enough to say, I'm going to increase my income this year. It's got to be specific. And the more specific you can make it, the more powerful the goal becomes. Again, goes back to your, and I'm not sure how much that has to do with how it links with the brain and all that, but part of it is certainly the impressionability that it has on our brain. That's one reason to be as specific as possible. The second reason is, when we start getting into the accountability, the follow-up of our goal in measuring it, the more specific it is, the easier it is to evaluate, measure where we're at in our plan, where we're at in reaching the goal. So S is specific. M, I segued right into that, measurable. You cannot have a goal that you cannot measure. You can't say, I'm going to win the game. You can't go. If you went out and a teams played up and down the field and they never had a scoreboard, who would ever know what was going on? You know,
yeah.
You got one team goes this way, one team goes this way, or the ball goes over here, or the ball goes over there, or it goes through this little basket. But if you didn't keep track of how many times it went through the basket, then you'd have no way to measure who's winning. So a goal has to be measurable whenever you create it. Now, the word A, attainable, experts use two different words. They're interchangeable in some respects, the word attainable or the word actionable. If a goal does not have action attached to it, then it's not a goal. It is a fantasy, folks,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have some action attached to it. See, you can dream about it. You can create the biggest goal in the world. You can make it specific. You can make it measurable. But if it doesn't have some action with it combined in your plan, then you can't call it a goal because there's no way you'll ever achieve it. R is
R is realistic.
Realistic. And that's the one I want to spend some time on.
Right, right.
Because realistic, some people can take that and they get back to the point where they're creating A-level goals and B-level goals.
Yeah, I mean, there's the balance there. Because
there's
you
a
want,
balance there.
Yeah, you want it to be big enough to be compelling and inspiring, but it has to be small enough that you could actually do it.
Right. Here's where realistic gets into. Chris, you've met me.
Yep.
Now, would it be realistic for me to adopt as one of my goals to ride a horse in the Kentucky Derby next year?
Probably not. You're a big guy.
I'm bigger than the horses.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
Probably not a realistic goal.
Right, right.
You know, now another thing, is it realistic, Chris? Because I mean that would not be realistic because from a physical challenge standpoint, a physical size. Now, quite frankly, there have been some big jockeys.
Yeah.
I don't know whether there's ever been a jockey as big as I am. I'm sure I would have to lose some weight. But you know, and certainly I could take a look at a guy like Spud Webb, who was 5'2" and made the NBA All-Star team playing for the Atlanta Hawks.
Yep.
You know, certainly a lot of people said to Spud, it's not realistic to believe you can play in the NBA. So
right.
Again, there's a balance there. But it would not be realistic because of the timing, because of everything else, to say, I'm going to be president of the United States. I'm going to run and be elected president of the United States in November 2004.
Sure.
Now, I might say 2008. I might say 2012, because there would be time, in fact, if I had the right strategy and I could create the right plan, there would, in fact, be a possibility. It would be realistic for me to do that. Now, again, the word realistic, I think, always look at people and say, you know what, when you look at the word realistic, it's one of those things, to thine own self be true.
Mm.
What kind of work habits do you have?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would have hated to have told Thomas Edison that some of his ideas were not realistic.
Sure, yeah.
You know, because he had a phenomenal work ethic. The guy slept about 4 or 5 hours a night. I read the other day where he had built, down in his home down here in Fort Myers, where he built a swimming pool, but he never went swimming. He never one time went in that pool.
Yeah, I've been to his home there with Ford's home right next door.
Right.
And he kept a little cot in his laboratory.
Exactly.
So he could go grab a little nap and then get right back to work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He one time took a fishing pole down to the end of the dock, but he didn't have any bait on it.
Mm.
He wasn't interested in catching fish. He was thinking.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be disturbed. He wanted people to think he was fishing, but he was thinking. I would have hated to have told Thomas Edison, with his work ethic, that anything was unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
People say, well, you know, and I've said to people, you know, you may have a dream and a goal to create a $1 billion company, and you've never even done $1 million before. And people would say to me, Vic, that's not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chris, there's a guy up in your part of the country, a guy named Jeff Bezos.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1995, sold everything he had and left New York City by car, traveled across the country out to Washington, and it was his goal to create a $1 billion company.
Mm-hmm.
By golly, I think the guy did it.
Yeah, he did it quite well.
And he didn't even have the first dollar of sales. And he had an unproven concept and an unproven medium. It was not realistic to believe that he could do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the word realistic has to be used with balance. And I spend more time on that part of the acronym than any other part because, again, I don't want people to discourage themselves from believing that they can have a really big dream because they go, well, I'm going to be realistic about it. Don't think realistic the way the world thinks realistic.
Well, and I think, too, you know, I'll give you a couple examples of some things you've used. It has to be realistic for you. And, you know, we were talking about being president of the United States. Well, it's not realistic for Arnold Schwarzenegger because he's foreign-born. It's simply impossible.
Right.
It was realistic for him to think he could be governor of California, which he ultimately did. You know, it might not be realistic for some people to think that they could start a $1 billion company and immediately get going and ramped up on it. However, Jeff Bezos came with quite a pedigree, and I happen to know a bunch of folks who sat around a table with him when he first got out there. And one of the guys who's on the board of Amazon, his name's Nick Hanauer, he looked around that table and he said, I want you to put $100,000 in, I want you to put $150,000, I want you to put $200,000. And they raised all the capital immediately for Jeff to be able to. Some people might not have those relationships to be able to go ahead and do that kind of thing. So it might, you know, you have to understand your own circumstances, your own talents, your own gifts, where you're at right now. It's not to say somebody couldn't go ahead and start a $1 billion company down the road, but would it be their first natural, realistic goal for them? For some people, they could. Donald Trump, he could say, hey, I'm going to start another $1 billion company. Much more realistic for him because it's him as opposed to somebody who maybe is just getting out of college or something like that. So realistic has a little bit of just our own personal stature and abilities and a history and all that kind of thing in it as well. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. And that's a good point. But again, I don't want anyone to forget Robert Schuller's wisdom that if you can dream it, you can do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, again, the word realistic, use it with balance. Don't get carried away on that part of it. You know, don't live in la-la land when you're adopting your goals, but that doesn't mean that you can't have a big, hairy, audacious goal, as some people call it, out there in front of you that's bigger than anything you've ever done, bigger than anything you've ever thought about, bigger than anybody in your family's ever done, bigger than anybody you've ever known. You can put it out there, and I promise you, you create the right plan, you take the right action steps, and you have put some work and energy behind it, and you'll find yourself achieving that goal.
Yeah, and if you're going to err on the side of too big, not too small.
Absolutely.
Because if you err on the side of too big, chances are, you know, let's say you only get 70% of it. Well, you're still 70% of the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about...
The final word in the acronym T is time, and it's got to have a time. A goal, if it doesn't have a time, it doesn't have a date associated with it, it's not a goal.
Right.
You know, a dream really is nothing more than a goal with a date put on it and some action steps.
But if
you cannot have a goal that doesn't have a time certainness to it, and again, it goes back to the measurability, it goes back to the accountability. There's no way in the world to evaluate. I mean, you couldn't go, again, using the analogy I used a minute ago about sports, you know, if you didn't have four quarters in a football game, you wouldn't know when it was over. You wouldn't have any way at all to know it's time to declare a winner now.
Sure.
So everything in the realm of goals has to be associated with time. There has to be a date put on it. Now, again, give you my experience, 20 years of struggling and failure in setting goals, is I would get so frustrated because I'd set a goal another way, and it was unreasonable and unrealistic sometimes in the dates that I associated with goals. Bob Proctor teaches about the universal law of gender, which says everything has a gestation period in life. You know, you take a seed of corn, it's 92 days from the time you put it in the ground until you're able to harvest it. Human being, it's 9 months from the time a human being is conceived until they're born. Everything has a gestation period. Idea has a gestation period. Sometimes we are unrealistic in the time that we assign to goals, and we get discouraged, and we just quit. We just throw our hands up in the air and we walk away and say this goal thing is for the birds. It doesn't work. Well, the problem is not that it didn't work, but that we didn't do a very good job in creating the right plan with the right date. And again, it's easy to take the evaluation period after we've started out on the goal, and we can say, you know what, I was wrong about that date. Chris, from my personal experience, Chris, I had a goal in 2002 to write a book. I know you've written several of them. Well, I had a goal in 2002. That was my year I was going to write a book. And, boy, I was excited about it. It was a big dream. It's something I've always wanted to do my whole life. And I thought I had the right action steps. I thought I had the right plan. I got pretty well into 2002, and I said, you know what? It's going to take something to get a book done this year, and I don't know that I'm going to be able to get the book done this year. Now, in the 15 years ago, I'd have thrown my hands up in the air. I said, this goal business is for the birds. Heck, I didn't want to write a book anyway. I didn't give up on the dream. I'd turn around and walked away. Instead, what I did was I did the smart thing. I looked reasonably, realistically, and I said, you know what? This is not the year that's going to happen, but it doesn't mean it won't happen. It just means this is not the year it's going to happen. And so I reset the goal for 2003, and in 2003, we were able to publish our first book.
Yeah. Now, you've kind of segued into the last couple things I want to talk about, just two sort of odds and ends. One of the most powerful things I ever heard was a quote by Tony Robbins where he said, most people overestimate what they can do in 1 year, and they underestimate what they can do in 10 years. And so I'd like you to talk a little bit about short, mid, and long-term range goals. Maybe help us define what have you found is the best definition of short-term, mid-term, long-term?
Well, I think, you know, again, go back to the company analogy that I've used, and companies, if you look at, they think anything 30, 60, 90 days to a year is short term.
Mm-hmm.
Anything in the 2 to 5 year period is midterm, and anything 10 years or longer is long term. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good formula to adopt for ourselves as well. So, you know, when I sit down at the beginning of the year, and a lot of times when we're doing goals, we also do some discombobulated goals. In other words, we're out all over the place. There's no synergy between the goals. There's actually ways to create goals that will be your short-term goals for this year. The accomplishment of those will be a step toward your midterm goals, and the accomplishment of those will be a step toward your long-term goals. And that's what big companies do when they are operating at maximum efficiency. Every time they're accomplishing a short-term goal, it's actually nothing more than a step toward their midterm goal or a step toward a long-term goal. We can do the same thing with our life. And that goes back to that very first thing I said, evaluation and those evaluation reflection periods in the beginning. Where do you want to be 10 years from now? Where do you want to be 20 years from now? You see, every step you take today is putting you in, you're walking in some direction. Every single step, if you imagined yourself standing on in the middle of the United States, you could take a step in any direction you wanted to, 360 degrees. I don't know where you'd be standing, somewhere in Nebraska, I guess, or Kansas or wherever.
Yeah.
And you're standing there in the middle on the map, and you could, 360 degrees, turn anywhere, take a step in any direction. Now, you taking that first step is a short-term goal, the accomplishment of a short-term goal. And if you took enough of those steps, eventually it would be pretty clear where you're going to end up 10 or 15 years from now. Well, if you got all these short-term goals you keep adopting and your goal is to be in New York and you got all these short-term goals and you're headed west, then 10 years is going to go by and you're going to be on the West Coast and you're going to and your goal will have been on to go to the East Coast. So that's why you have to create a plan for your life. And one thing that I love about the Jim Rohn one-year plan is it is not a kind of Band-Aid approach to it. It is a holistic approach to the whole person. It's a holistic approach to doing something about your entire life. And this goals process is just a part of that. But use the goals process to get you where you want to be 10 years from now, 20 years from now. Don't think short term. Companies that think short term are companies that never last long term. You have to have a long term look at your life. You can't think, worry too much about where am I going to be this time next year. The bigger question is, where are you going to be 5 years from now? Where are you going to be 10 years from now? Where are you going to be 20 years from now? And again, things change, environment changes, things beyond our control change, and sometimes where we end up 10 or 15 or 20 years bears no resemblance at all about where we thought we would be. But I think it's kind of interesting, Chris, that 30 years ago when I listened to Earl Nightingale and Dennis Whately, The Psychology of Winning, and Jim Rohn and Tony Robbins and all these other, well, Tony wasn't around in 30 years ago, but right. Zig Ziglar and all these other guys. And over the years, I studied that, you know, that all that information that I was getting, everything, even though I was not conscious of it, I was taking steps in the direction to end up where I am today. And so be conscious of the long term whenever you're doing your goals. It's far, far more important. Now, here's something that most people don't quite understand. I didn't understand it. You'll do very little work consciously this year on your 10-year goals. But if you adopt the proper short-term goals, there'll be all the steps you need to take this year to make sure you achieve your 10-year goals.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Good stuff. Let's finish up with a question about naysayers, you know, people around you, friends, family, that that kind of naysay on the whole goal setting thing, or perhaps a spouse who doesn't believe in the goals you're setting, that type of thing. How do you work around that very relational obstacle?
Well, let's make a two-part question out of that.
Okay.
Because it really is two things. First of all, don't go out and share your goals with the world.
Okay.
You know, here's who you should be sharing your goals with. You should be sharing your goals with people who are already your natural cheerleaders.
Yep.
You know, you have people in your life, they've been in your life your whole life, or maybe they come into your life, you met them at work, or you met them at your club or church or whatever, and they're just those people that when you get around them, they're magic for you because they're always encouraging you. They have an interest in your life. Share your goals with those people. Those people have your interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be sharing your guys with the guy. Don't be sharing your goals with the guy at the water cooler, who has no interest in your life, because they have no vested interest. They have no reason at all to support you. And many times, people even shoot you down. There is an analogy used, and I happen to live at the beach and been around the beach for many, many years. It is actually true that you take, we have blue crabs down in Florida, and I think a lot of people have seen blue crabs. You take, put a bunch of blue crabs in a 5-gallon bucket. You'll never see one of them. You don't ever have to worry about them getting out of the bucket, because as one blue crab will try to reach up and climb up the side of the bucket, the other crabs will grab hold of him and pull him back into the bucket.
Huh.
And that's amazing that human beings are that way sometimes too.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got some goals. You've decided I'm moving on. I'm going to go start my business this year. I'm going to be self-employed. It's been a goal of yours or a dream of yours, and now you've decided I'm going to make it real this year. I'm going to take the steps to make that happen. And you're sharing that with the guy at the water cooler. He doesn't have your interest in mind. In fact, in some corporate political environments, it might not be a very smart thing to do, and that crab may try to pull you right back into
sure.
the bucket.
Yeah.
So that I would say you know the people who are your natural cheerleaders. Share your goals with them. I'll touch real quickly on the accountability standpoint. You need some people in your life that you can be accountable to in terms of your goals. You need to share, either get yourself a mentor or mentors or some peers who also are goal setters. Recruit. If you don't have any peers that are goal setters, go out and network until you find some people that you can create relationships with, that you can share your goals with, and then be accountable to them and say, Chris, I want you to help me this year. I've got some big goals set. Will you help me and hold me accountable to the goals that I've set?
Mm.
The second part of the question as it relates to relationships and spouses, it may be children, it may be a spouse or whatever, who are not entirely supportive of your goals. Let me just say that the way to overcome that is go do it.
Yeah.
Go do it. See, Chris, when I was married, I think I was like most people in relationships is, you know, my spouse was not supportive at times of a lot of the new projects I've come home with. You know why? Because I had a bunch of unfinished projects in the garage.
Yeah.
You know, I had the greatest idea, and I was coming home with it, and I was gung-ho, you know, for a weekend or maybe for a month, and guess what? It's taking up space over in the corner of the garage.
Mm.
Well, to a lot of people, goals and the transformation that happens when someone gets excited about the goals process isn't any different than that last project you brought home that's still sitting in the garage.
Yeah.
If you want to show someone that you're serious, go do it.
Yeah.
Go do it.
Yeah.
You know, go get your support from your natural cheerleaders. And I'll just tell you, you know, if you've got a spouse who's not supportive, or if you've got close friends or family or whatever who've not supported, just go do it. You'll be amazed at what happens. And I used this story before as well, as you know, 3 or 4 years ago, I decided that I was going to get in the kind of health and physical shape that I was in when I played football. And I had let myself go for 20 years, and I was in terrible shape. And so I got very serious about it, made a major commitment to myself, and I started going to the gym. Well, of course, you know, my children, who had seen me go out and start exercise programs and quit exercise programs and everything over the years, just like we all have done, you know, my children snickered about that for quite
mm-hmm.
a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, Dad, he's going out to the gym. Ha, 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 ha.
Right.
You know, and it was so funny, because after about 90 days, they're saying, Dad's still going to the gym.
Yeah, sure.
And then after 6 months, my youngest son started coming with me. At the time, Chris, he was 12 years old. He started coming with me, and he started working out.
Mm-hmm.
And he started working out with me every time I went out there. Fairly soon, I'd gotten a family membership at the gym, and fairly soon after my son started going, my daughter started working out. And it was amazing what happened in my family, because my children stopped snickering and started saying, they saw some physical changes in me, and then they saw that my commitment was there.
Right.
And so I'm happy to say now, 4 years later, my son's got about 17-inch arms, and he's a huge kid.
Wow.
From having worked out. And my daughter's in the best. She's in better shape than she was when she graduated from high school.
Wow.
So, you know, it's amazing that just your example, just go out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let the words, doesn't matter what you say. You know, you've heard the old expression, what you say, what you do speaks so loudly, what you say I cannot hear.
Sure, yeah.
You know, well, you can work that the reverse way too.
Yeah.
Don't worry about trying to tell somebody what you're going to do. Just go do it.
Yeah, great stuff. Well, that brings us to the conclusion. And so, Vic, I want to say thanks for you for joining us on this conference call. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it.
Great. And then, folks, that is the end of month two's conference call on goal setting. Tons of information for you to think about and begin to reflect upon and put into action. So on behalf of Jim Rohn and Kyle Wilson, president of Jim Rohn International, this is Chris Widener, and I bid you farewell until next month, month three. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.